Item number 11, discussion and possible action on Lake Granbury Canal Engineering Study. Ken Rendy.
Again, next slide, Jennifer, if you would. Just a little bit of background to keep moving forward for the current board members and certainly our new board members. Back in '02, the authority implemented a moratorium at Lake Granbury for canal cut-throughs on the lake at that time. So it's been in effect for about 6 years. And the reason that we did that was specifically some of the E. coli issues and other water quality issues that we were seeing within the existing canals around the lake that had been there from some time. We had a real concern until we got our hands around that allowing future or further canal excavation that in the lake could just kind of add coal to the fire here with that. So we elected at that time to implement a moratorium on that. In May of 06, when we completed our boating capacity study at both Lake Possum Kingdom and Lake Granbury, at the same time, we had commenced an ongoing water protection plan at Granbury as well, watershed protection plan at Granbury, to help address some of the issues within those old canals as well, water quality-wise. That study is still ongoing and will probably be for the next year and a half or so before we finalize that study. So in May of 06, staff brought to the board and the board elected to extend that moratorium on cut-throughs in the canals until the completion of the WPP at Granbury. Simultaneously with that, the city of Granbury was very concerned that allowing that to happen from their perspective, that extension of that moratorium could negatively impact economic development around the lake at that time. I think they had at least some concerns that there was a developer that wanted to do another canal development. So they raised issues with us significantly through their outside counsel on that. And what we agreed to do with them to try to help partner anyway and that the board approved was to hire an outside engineering firm that hopefully would be able to put some science behind canal construction to where at least if the board want to consider at some point lifting that moratorium, they would have some type of science at least as far as what an outside source may feel like we need to do to engineer a canal that would remain water friendly, water quality friendly. So that's what this update is today. We have with us our consulting firm, Brown & Gay Engineers, Dorian French and Melinda Silva sitting over here. If you have specific questions that I can't answer, they may be able to as well. Along with their team, they've hired SB Consultants for water quality modeling and urban engineering out of Corpus Christi to look at these issues as well, best management practices, bulkheads, and that. Next slide. The study is three phases. We've completed phase one. We've all but completed phase two. I think you received a copy of that in your mailouts. Upon approval today, then we'll move to phase three of this effort, which will be about roughly about a two-month effort. We figure we'll be complete around the end of June. Next slide. Again, this was the issue. Real concerns about water quality, stagnation and that within the existing canals. And the bottom bullet there, especially the dissolved oxygen levels and that within canals and any future new canals we wanted to pay particular attention to. Next slide. Phase two objectives are this, with the real issue amongst all of it, certainly being the 5 milligrams per liter of the dissolved oxygen within the canals, trying to maintain at least that, along with the other recommendations within the study for bulkheads on water facility and maintenance. Next slide. For depth of canals, what Brown and Gay is suggesting right now is that they should be between 10 and 15 feet in depth. No more than 15 feet, really, because then you do start having additional dissolved oxygen concerns. Next slide. Width, there should be, certainly wider the better, but a minimum width of 100 feet with flared openings about 45 degrees and up to three times that width of the canal to allow adequate water inflow into the canal. Next slide. The length of canals. The best that they see when you develop one really is to have multiple entrances, at least two entrances to a canal project to where that water has a better capability of flowing in from the main body of lake and back out, and that the openings should be no further than 2,500 feet apart. dead-end canals, if you're going to have them, certainly no more than 650 feet. And then try to really stay away from dead-end fingers off the main canal. Next slide. We felt like as well, when we have the science that they've come up with for the width, depth, and length and that, that certainly there may be a request at some time, would we even consider a variance? And we felt like we needed to at least take a look at this, and what we wanted to do as we move forward is that if there is a variance, that we want that developer and engineer to submit that plan of canal development to an outside engineering source, PE-wise, to determine whether or not that outside source felt that that also protected that dissolved oxygen issue with the design that they might have, with the underlying concern of that. Probably mechanical circulation methods would be needed if they were going to do something of a variance. But in all cases, again, we want to protect the dissolved oxygen with it. Next slide. Bulkheads and revetments. Pretty much we do that right now through our permitting. If someone wants to put a bulkhead in on the lake, depending on the nature of it and that, we would want to see that construction permit certainly from the developer. A maintenance bond put up as well for that, for future maintenance to protect that. We don't want to get into the business ourselves of trying to maintain maintenance on the canals and that. We felt like that needs to be probably rest end game with the homeowners association to do so. Certainly uniformity and best management practices for erosion control. And that's one of the things that you, I think, saw or would see in your phase two as well, that Brown and Gay certainly is stressed as well, that not just scientifically putting a canal in there that hopefully will protect water quality, but certainly look at all the erosion measures and that folks use around that area to help protect it as well from runoff and that. Next slide. For boat considerations, these pretty much are in line with what we have in our rules and regulations as well within the BRA. The optimum thing probably would be to have these adjacent lots and then corresponding across to be offset somewhat as this shows to allow the greatest amount of water flow through the canals, 30 feet maximum length out into the canal. If you've got 100 foot width, that would provide about a 40-foot channel clearance at least that we do look for in our regulations as well. Next slide. Further considerations, anything regulatory-wise, compliance-wise, we would want to see that from either the city or county with their developer, depending on that. TSEC construction permits, and certainly the Corps engineers with 404 permits for any dredging that they might do, certainly up into their property and that as they excavate to open it up to the lake. Next slide. Phase three, hopefully we've already done that, laid the seed with the city and county for developing partnerships in that. We've met both with Judge Rash at Hood County, two of his, one of his commissioners, the city manager and the mayor at Granbury that were very concerned with the moratorium anyway, and pre-briefed them. We met with the stakeholders as well about a week ago. Briefed phase two here, and I feel like most everybody is really in sync and in concurrence, at least with what we found thus far.
I might point out here that whenever this process started, there was they didn't like us very much at Granbury. And whenever through, again, communication and looking people in the eye and talking to them, that those relationships certainly got better. Certainly got better, and Chris can speak to that. He's the one that gets he's up on the point. He gets beat up. He either gets all the praise or all the damnation. So, but in my opinion, and Chris can speak for himself, but I think he's gotten a lot better.
Well, I agree with Phil. It's been ragged. The canal issue has been one with the places. You know, build it, they will come, and they built Lake Granbury 40 years ago, and they discovered it about 15 years ago, and it just exploded and population growth and development all around the, not only the Gateds, but the other developed areas, the country club areas that are contiguous to the lake. And I think most of the developers now are fairly well in control. We've got a fellow up there by the name of Lee Overstreet, who's one of the principal developers there. And Lee has really been a class guy in terms of keeping everything smooth and workable around Granbury. He's on the water, the WPP, the Water Protection Plan. Is that Watershed Protection Plan? Mm-hmm. Is that right, Ken? Board, and has really gone a long way toward helping relationships up there. A little bit of contingency with the city and with the county, but then those are political issues that you're all familiar with. But otherwise, I, and Kent and his frequent visits up there, and Mike Giltis, have really gone a long way toward making, so far, we're not into a PK situation there yet.
Jennifer, before we bring the next slide up, do we have a couple of questions? I'm sorry. Yes, sir.
What about the existing canals and so forth? Is there any remedial action plan talked about or considered?
Not with this study, sir, but I think we may, it's very possible we may see some things that come out of our watershed protection plan study that may address some of that. It probably won't get into trying to redesign or whatever the canals, but certainly protection of future concerns that we have going into those canals. And no, this does not deal with the existing canals. This whole thing is really out of concern for any future development on the lake. Yes, sir.
If I recall correctly, the boat loading study was the primary catalyst for us putting a moratorium on canal, that and the environmental impact. Now, the new developments that are proponents of the canals, are those in areas that will impact what we've learned from the boat loading study?
It's a wonderful transition for a point he asked me to make on Friday as well today. First of all, the boating capacity study was done after we actually had initiated the current moratorium on the canals. That was in 02. The boating capacity study was in 05 and then approved by the board in 06, sir. But yes, the other hurdle that will fall now, and really we only know of one potential canal development, and I asked Lee Overstreet last week, as a matter of fact, with Director Adams mentioned his name, what he'd heard rumor-wise at all about that one. There wasn't very much yet. At the time, 2 years ago when we did this, there was a pretty hard move for the one development. But the boating capacity study itself, the area that this one development that the city was looking at wanting to do was in an area that many of you have seen, and for the new board members that were here a couple weeks ago, that red area on the boating capacity study that would not allow for any future on-water facilities, that one development, if it were to move forward, when and if a canal moratorium is lifted, would be impacted by our current boating capacity study. When we were up with the city about a month ago, the mayor and the city manager expressed still concern about our boating capacity study. They didn't like it from day one, to be quite frank, probably because it basically did what it was doing to this one area and what they felt like was a negative impact to economic development. They basically said that we, the city, would like to pay for and have another boating capacity study done. We'd like to work with you to do that, to look at the companies that did respond to your RFP and potentially maybe sit down with you to do another scope of work and us pay independently to have a new study done for us and perhaps your board, I think is where they were going, to consider any changes from that to what we had done. Now, you know, our full intention was probably in the 2010-2011 time frame, 5 to 6 years from our last one, to come back and do another one. The way they talked, they wanted to try to do one this summer, but the city manager told me a couple of weeks ago that they were putting money in their 09 budget and probably wouldn't pursue it right now. Didn't want to say no, but they'd probably look at next year at wanting to do a boating capacity study of their own. So I have provided to them the RFPs that we did receive, so they have that for consideration, and I anticipate probably a callback soon to come and sit with them and talk about it.
From a development standpoint, I mean, it looks like we're moving towards the day when we're going to be asked to review our moratorium. And it looks like that day's coming pretty quick, especially instituting phase three. Are we going to be at a place where we're going to be asked to vote on the moratorium for the economic advantages of Granbury before that boat loading study is going to be done then, in the next year?
Probably so. I mean, I anticipate if this study is completed in June, that possibly we would bring that to you then in July at the July board to consider if, in fact, we're all satisfied with the design specs that we've seen thus far in there, at some point lifting that moratorium. It may not be in July, because I would want to see much of what comes out of here implemented in a city ordinance, and whatever subdivision-type help that the county can give to us to ensure when a development does come forward, that this is in there as guidelines for that developer to use.
Do we know how many future canal developments they could do on the lake?
Director Geary, how many they could do?
Yeah, I mean, the question I got is, you know, I see this develop a partnership with the city and the county. And we've got a bunch of canals up there that are horrible, and the county doesn't want to fix them, the city doesn't want to fix them. And at what point, if we're asked to go against what we determined we needed to do in regards to the moratorium, where's the end game on this? I mean, are there going to be developers that come to us in the next 10 years, 15 years, until that lake is nothing more than splintered fingers of canals? I mean, there has to be a point where we move beyond economic development to environmental damage. And I'd like to know where that point is going to be. So before we get to a point to vote on the moratorium and lifting the moratorium, I want to know what the developmental forecast of the overall lake is going to be and the impact on our water quality. Because we're on a curve, and at some point we're going to get to the top of that curve where, even though we're designing these canals to certain standards, it's going to be detrimental to our water quality. At least that's the way I believe. I don't know if I articulated myself.
Oh, you right. Did. You did, and I don't know if I have a good answer for
you. We'll keep going through time and space, and then we'll have to make a decision. It's going at a faster rate than it's acceptable or whatever, but I don't think we can't say August the 15th, 2022.
Well, but when you say we're developing a partnership with the city and the county, part of that partnership needs to be that they understand that there's an end game. Because there's always going to be another developer in line that says, whoa, wait a minute. I know the bus just left, but stop for me and let me catch up.
That's where you stand, and that's always going to be there.
Well, but in regards to developing the partnerships with the city and the county, I want them to agree before the bus leaves that there are partners in on this. Chris, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. And the Watershed Protection Plan has gone a long way in helping mitigate this, because of the stakeholder members on that represent all the developers, the county, the utilities, the city, and what have you. And I don't know, there are about 30 members, aren't there? Mm-hmm. Again, something like that. That are really working for the first time together. You know, we got that started last year, and it's just now in about this fourth or fifth meeting. And I sat in the back row and listened to that. I can't participate, but I'm pleased and impressed with the cooperative spirit that's now ongoing, we didn't have before, and it seems to be working. Now, the point you make is a good one. There's a Hilton Hotel going in right now downtown on city site, and I don't know if you've gotten into that or not, Kent, with regard to the guy boats are built right on the lake, and they're going to require recreational activities, I guess, attendant to that Hilton that's going in there. It's a huge convention center going in next to the Hilton. It's growing so far, though, from the point of view of attitudes within the city and the attitudes amongst the developers. It's calmer now. I've been out there for 15 years. It's calmer now than I've ever seen it before in terms of attitudes and relationships with the BRA. It's not a bad word up there as it was for a while. The boat loading study triggered a lot of animosity and what have you, but Kent, his guys, and the WPP have gone a long way toward mitigating that and making exceptions where exceptions were allowable, if you will. But I don't know if we can get to the answer that you're looking for, what day is, you know, the cut line to say we have to stop and renegotiate.
I think when we get a request to dig a canal to Tolar and open it up, waterfront property there.
I'm sorry.
I said, I think when we get to the point where the request is to dig a canal to Tolar and put waterfront in there, that's getting to the point that we're...
Well, that's an issue. Canals create waterfront, and that's the whole issue, and that's what Wade's getting at there.
Well, I mean, we are in another PK situation in the sense that,
potentially.
We made a decision, and it wasn't popular, so now we're having to spend money and rethink those decisions. The day's coming when Phil's going to ask us to lift the moratorium or make recommendations to lift the moratorium. And I'm going to have a real hard problem voting to lift a moratorium when I don't know where the stopgap is. I mean, like I said, at some point, we're going to move more into the economic development of a city and a county, and it's going to be detrimentally and environmentally harmful to the BRA. And at that point, I'm going to have a problem with it. So I'm going to have to know that, you know, these are some things that we're moving towards, and this is what our long-term goal is. And I want the city and the county to be on board with that so that the animosity is not there when we come in. And maybe it's 10 years from now and we say no more, then we don't have to go through this again.
Well, currently they are on board, but as commissioners change out and councilmen change out, politics change. And, and that's, you know, I commented at lunch today that there's the old Granberry and there's new Granberry. The old Granberry is a pocket of hard rock folks in there that aren't that much concerned with development. They just love their lake. But there's a whole crowd of other folks coming in there.
Let me ask, is there a surface acre number, which is the maximum surface acres of canals that we could put in before it's detrimental?
Dorian, I don't know if y'all really came up with a surface area. I know one of the depictions you had was at least areas around the lake that you could still consider for canal development, but I don't think you broke that down into acres, did you? Could we do that as part of phase three yet as we finalize this thing? Or I got to be careful as far as the scope of work, what we're doing, but it may be that we could at least look at that.
One of the major issues, back to Wade's question again, is not the new canals that are going in. Those are fairly well managed and controlled and programmed. But north of the city, it's, I don't know if you took that trip up there that day on the bus, but it's absolutely a ghetto up there. It's the worst of the worst in terms of pollution production and what have you. Tiffany can address that. It is bad, and it's and the county couldn't care less about putting anything in there.
Maybe if it gets to the point where we determine that there's, you know, another 100 surface acres of canals before our water is impacted negatively, then we get the county to agree that we're going to go along with an additional 100 acres of canals, and however that's, you know, the first people to line up to get it, once it's there, it's gone.
Well, Director Gere, I know this doesn't answer your question either, but again, the whole science behind here as well was to at least come up with what we hope is a design that won't impact water quality in the lake. Until we see it happen, though, and actually working, you don't have 100% guarantee on it.
You know as well as I do that a canal is an off-site marina. Because everybody's going to have a boathouse, everybody's going to have a boat, and there's only so much surface acres of that lake that can handle all those boats. And you go back to your boat loading study, and at some point, whether ours is right or wrong, that lake is going to be negatively impacted by the number of what I call off-main body water structures.
On-water facilities.
On-water facilities through canals. And, you know, we've tried to have vision with Possum Kingdom. I feel that we are doing this now, and we need to have the vision to say, gentlemen, we can go this far, and you need to agree with us now that this is the number. Let's all agree on it now, because I don't want to get to the number, and then there'll be two other developers who have the ear of the mayor, who have the ear of the senator, who have the ear of the state rep, and we're in the same boat that we're in now. So when we're talking about a partnership with the city and the county, I want it to be a true partnership that we are moving from this point to this point, and we are partners in between. And when we reach this, then we all agree that we've done our deal.
Your point's well taken. We hear you, but we can't guarantee it.
Okay.
I think the politics are really what you're, you know,
you don't control those.
That's the reality of what we'll be faced with at that time.
Any other discussion? I'll read the resolution then. The following resolution is presented for consideration of the Board of Directors of the Brazos River Authority for adoption at its April 28, 2008 meeting. B, Be it resolved that the Board of Directors of the Brazos River Authority hereby authorizes General Manager, CEO, to initiate Phase 3 of the Brown and Gay Engineers Incorporated contract for the Lake Granbury Canal Engineering Study for an amount not to exceed $51,160.
Chair will entertain a motion for the resolution.
Make a motion.
Moved by Ball, seconded by Dennis. Please call the board.
Chairman DeBlewitz?
Yes.
Director Johnson?
Yes.
Director Beer?
Yes.
Director Adams?
Yes.
Director Bellon?
Yes.
Director Ball?
Yes.
Director Barr?
Yes.
Director Bell?
Yes.
Director Bennett?
Yes.
Director Blum?
Yes.
Yes.
Director Breeden?
Aye.
Director Carrabba?
Yes.
Director Christian?
Yes.
Director Kilgore?
Yes.
Director Moore?
Yes.
Director Sloan?
Yes.
Director Smith?
Yes.
Thank you.